On this edition of WBOI's Field Notes, Victoria Jacobson from the Journal Gazette gets us started with more on high school basketball tournaments before looking ahead to what comes after. Baseball season is right around the corner, and Jaden Taylor from the Tin Caps will tell us what we can expect at Parkview Field this year. And I'll close with notes on the Bears, the Comets, and more. That's all next on Field Notes. Thank you for joining us this week. I'm Zach Bernard. Victoria Jacobson from the Fort Wayne Journal Gazette is with us to get started as well. Thank you for being here.
Thanks so much for having me.
Girls basketball state finals are this weekend. Before we go over the matchups, let's talk about how we got here. What happened at semi-state?
All right, so we had three teams that reached the semi-state championship games on Saturday night. We started the day with four teams. Number one, Witka, was upset in Class 2A. But in the evening, we went 3-for-3. So Class 3A Belmont and Class A Fremont each made their first state title. For Fremont, it was the first one in any team sport where there's a championship game. It's the first in a state championship final match or game. And then Norwell made a little bit of history. They're headed back to the state finals for the third year in a row, but the first time as a 4A team. Belmont, the Braves, they had a little bit of a close call in their morning semifinal against Culver Academies. They had an 18-point lead that got whittled down to 7, but then they held on for that one, made their free throws, went through to the evening final. And then they played number 11 Connersville in the evening. Connersville, by the way, kind of a funny situation. First of all, I don't know why they're in the northern half of the draft. They're not in the northern half of the state, but also the alma mater of two of my grandparents who met there. So kind of a funny situation for me. I don't think for anybody else, but it was a close game for a little bit. The Braves held the Spartans to just 4 points in the first quarter. Things got a little dicey there in the second, and then they held the Spartans to 6th in the third, and so Connersville falls to Belmont 56-41 in that Logansport semi-state. So that is 3A. Funnily enough, Belmont and Norwell, pretty big NE8 rivals, both go through to the state finals because Norwell, if you all remember that the Knights are a 3A defending champion, got moved up to 4A by success factor. They have not missed a beat in these 4A playoffs, so they sliced through Crown Point in the afternoon semifinal, winning 63-48. Was a little bit worried. They had the second semifinal. They were going to be a little bit more tired, not have as much rest as McCutcheon in the championship game. Didn't matter. Norwell pulled away for a 59-42 victory to become the second NE8 team going through to the state finals. And then for Fremont, I actually got to see their first game, started off Saturday morning at Huntington North, where Fremont took care of Monroe Central. And then in the evening game, the Eagles take down number 4 Elkhart Christian. That's the same team that knocked them out of the state tournament last year. This time Fremont wins 55-33. They hit 4 3-pointers in that first quarter of the championship game, got everything going, led 34-13 at halftime, never looked back. So really good day for Fremont, doing something that no team in Fremont history has ever done. So very exciting. I mean, unless you want to count golf, but that's a different format.
So our state title contenders are down in Indianapolis getting ready. Tell us what we can expect.
All right. So it's going to be a long day down at the state finals. Fremont is opening against Borden. Borden is 24-4 and the defending state champion. In 3A, Belmont gets Roncalli, who is 27-3. In the evening championship, Norwell is going to be playing again in their third straight state title game, just not in 4A. The Knights will be playing Center Grove. Center Grove is 28-0, ranked number 2 in the ICGSA poll. It's kind of funny because there is a little bit of cross-pollination. The Norwell coach, Eric Thornton, started his coaching career at Plymouth. The Center Grove coach is a Plymouth grad who was coached by the same coach that Coach Thornton learned under. So again, kind of have some of the same basketball DNA there and can see some of that in each other's programs. And there's a little bit of familiarity there. So should be a really, really great game. If Norwell wins, they will become the first team ever to win a 3A and then a 4A title in back-to-back years. Northwestern did get a chance to do it a couple years ago, but didn't pull it off, fell in the 4A state title game. So we're looking for a little bit of history here on Saturday.
Meanwhile, the boys' tournament is carrying on. Over the weekend, the sectional bracket was revealed. What are some highlights?
As in the girls, you go in knowing that, especially in our 4A brackets, you're going to see some early rematches of those SAC games. So the thing that really stood out to me is that Southside, by the way, the outright boys SAC champion for the first time since 1997, is going to be opening against Homestead. Homestead ended up not being in the running for that SAC title. There were a couple teams that finished or could finish with a 7-2 record, but Homestead is not one of them. However, the Spartans were the ones to hand Southside its first loss of the season, one of the very few that Southside has had all season. So it could be one of those things where you won the SAC, but the one for all the marbles at the end to stay alive, that's coming in sectionals. So the Archers need to get a little bit of revenge there. So that's kind of interesting. And on the other side of that bracket, Huntington North 13-8 and Wayne 12-10 will meet in the other semifinals. So that's going to be one of the toughest sectionals in the state. On the one hand, it only has four teams. On the other hand, all of those teams have won at least 12 games. So whoever makes it out of there is going to be pretty tough. We also have, some people would say it's kind of an unfortunate first round matchup in that because we do the random draw, some teams just have a harder path than others to start off their state tournament. And that's something that we're seeing in Class 3A. We have number 14 Blackhawk Christian, 15-7, open up against Angola, 16-5. So those are two teams that have had very good seasons just by record. One of them's going home in the first round of the DeKalb sectional. And that's just the luck of the draw. Blackhawk has won 8 consecutive sectional titles. Now, that started all the way back down in 1A, now 2A, now they're in 3A. So it's not like it's come at the expense of the same teams every time. But, you know, if it was Angola, if it's anyone else in that sectional who knocks out Blackhawk, that will be quite an achievement because it's been a while since the Braves have ended their season early.
Obviously, with all of this talk about tournaments, the basketball season is starting to wind down. So what are you looking ahead to next on the sports front?
All right. So another thing that we will be doing in Indianapolis on Saturday is the boys swimming and diving state title. I know it can get lost in the shuffle since we have so many teams going down to play in the basketball state finals, but the Homestead boys, they won 10 events for their second straight sectional title at the Southside sectional this Saturday. They do have a really good shot of making some noise down there at the state finals. So we will have a reporter at the swim state finals while I am covering the 1A girls state finals. And then we will team up again for the evening games at Gainbridge Arena. Another thing that I've been paying attention to is gymnastics. As some people might remember, we do have the defending state champion in Bishop Dwenger. And then we have a lot of other teams that have posted some really, really great scores this year, such as Homestead. I've seen some good scores out of Carroll lately. Another thing I've been noticing is even the teams that we don't think of as necessarily our regular contenders, the ones that are regularly qualifying as a team to make it to regionals, maybe aren't sending somebody to the state finals. I've still been seeing some really, really good scores just sort of posted on social media, whether it's a record-breaking team score like Huntington North had this year, or just, you know, individuals setting the school record on the bars or school record on the beam for, I think that happened for Concordia a couple days ago. So just a lot of stuff to kind of be excited about because there's a lot of different little areas and a lot more teams are competitive. So we still have those same teams at the top doing really, really well, but there's a lot more teams that are making it interesting and are making sure that it's not just a anointing by default this year. So that's really, really fun.
Victoria Jacobson keeping us excited about the whole spectrum of local sports for the Fort Wayne Journal-Gazette. Thank you, as always, for being here.
Thanks so much for having me.
If you can believe it, we're rapidly approaching the start of the baseball season. Tin Caps will play their first home game on Tuesday, April 7th, and I'm joined now by Jaden Taylor from the Tin Caps for this next discussion. Thank you for being here.
Yeah, thank you so much for having me on.
We're about 6 weeks out from the home opener at Parkview Field. What are some of the things that you have to prepare between now and then?
Yeah, overall as a group, you know, we're just trying to get this season going and making sure our fans are able to have, you know, the best experience possible. A little bit different for me to kind of focus on baseball and trying to get everything promoting what we do overall with the Tin Caps, but our entire front office is a madhouse trying to work everything and get everything ready to go. Just recently sent out our promotion schedule for this 2026 season, 28 different postgame fire fireworks nights, a lot more new coming to Parkview Field this season. So, you know, we wrapped up everything with holiday lights, you know, right around the new year. And, you know, we had some, you know, look towards the season before that, getting everything ready to go. And now we're full on baseball.
Last week, you revealed some new seating options for fans who are attending the games. What should they know about that?
Yeah, the Appleseed Terrace is going to be a new group area out in right field. The Huntington University Picnic Pavilion was in that area. It's going to be right next to that, down the right field line. It's going to be a great area for other fans to be able to come by for about a group of 50 to 100, able to get some seats out there, get some really great food, a buffet out there, as well as a bar. So loads of great ways to be able to take in the action. You're really hovering right over the right fielder a little bit in that corner, and another great experience to sit at the picnic table and watch some great baseball.
The team will also have a new alternate branding that was introduced a couple weeks ago. They're going to roll with it for the next few years, so tell us more about that.
Yeah, the Fort Wayne Puffer Bellies has been something we've been working on for a long time, getting ready for this season. You know, more Hoosier State Tenderloins after a couple of great years of those ball caps and the great tradition that we've showcased with the Tenderloins, and now kind of going the railroad history that's been showcased out here the last couple of years, the Fort Wayne Historic Railroad Society. We've had a great ability to partner with them with this Fort Wayne Puffer Bellies look. If you're a train fan, if your kids or grandparents are big train fans, a great way to come out of the ballpark and showcase that. Full new uniforms that look really cool. Our creative director and Tony Desplaines did a great job in putting that all together. And if you want to come out to showcase the Fort Wayne Puffer Bellies, it'll be every Wednesday night home game from May through August. So great ways to be able to showcase the train railroad history through the Nickel Plate Road.
And you were discussing the promotion schedule, which is determined throughout the offseason, maybe even towards the end of the previous season. So what are some fun dates that fans could look forward to in the upcoming season?
Yeah, overall, this season's going to be a lot of fun. Million Dollar Man, we're going to have another pro wrestling night will be showcased this year. Also have a couple of princess nights for some fans that want to go see some of their local princesses in the area as well. Bird Zerk is coming back. He's been in the minor league game pretty much as an entertainer for 20 plus years now all across the country. He does some great work as well. So a lot of different great promotions nights come out of the ballpark, and great way to showcase some great baseball.
Can't wait for warm weather and more baseball games at Parkview Field starting in 6 weeks when the Tin Caps take the field for their first home game on Tuesday, April 7th. Jaden Taylor is with the Tin Caps. Thank you so much for being here.
Yeah, thank you so much for having me.
Hammond's mayor is confident a new Chicago Bears stadium would benefit Northwest Indiana. WVPE's Michael Gallenberger has more.
During a press conference Thursday, Mayor Tom McDermott Jr. said a new stadium would bring thousands of jobs.
The Bears themselves is thousands of jobs, not to mention the construction jobs that go into the stadium, the parking facilities around the stadium, and the ancillary development that's going to come. And it's going to come.
Still, there may be inconveniences. McDermott acknowledged that there'd be a need for property acquisitions and hundreds of millions of dollars worth of infrastructure upgrades. It would also raise taxes on restaurant and hotel customers, but McDermott was confident that local residents wouldn't bear much of the burden. I'm Michael Gallenberger in Elkhart.
The Comets had another great weekend, picking up 5 of a possible 6 points through Sunday. They're now back at the top of the Central Division. They've got 3 more coming up this weekend. They're back home Friday to host Cincinnati at 7:30. Then Wheeling comes to town Saturday, also with a 7:30 faceoff. They'll head on over to Wheeling Sunday with a 4:15 puck drop. 25 games remain on the regular season schedule. The Pacers are winless in 4 games since returning from the All-Star break, most recently falling to the 76ers on Tuesday. They're hoping to turn things around over the next week with home games against the Hornets and Grizzlies tonight and Sunday respectively, before heading out west to visit old friend Benedict Mathurin and the Los Angeles Clippers next Wednesday night. There's still no collective bargaining agreement for the upcoming WNBA season. There's not much more progress to report at this time. Earlier this week, the league did inform the Players Association that a deal ought to be reached by March 10th, and if it isn't, there's a chance that the season schedule will be impacted. So that's the next date we need to watch out for. The Before that, though, another date to keep an eye on. Next Monday, March 2nd, the conference tournaments for this year's NCAA championship begin. It's going to be wall-to-wall basketball in my front room for the next month once that gets started. That's all for Field Notes this week, and for a little while. My time with WBOI is coming to an end on Friday. I am immensely grateful for my 10 and a half years with the station and the time that you spent with me across more than 90 episodes of this show. It's been a real labor of love. While I am pursuing new opportunities, I do know that the goal is for Field Notes to return once a new host and producer is found. I hope you support it in whatever form it takes. I know I'll be one of the first in line to do so myself. So thank you for spending this era of Field Notes with me. I'm Zach Bernard.
Music for Field Notes is produced by Jack Ankenbrook. You can support this podcast anytime at wboi.org/donate. You and I are listening to WBOI.